Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lueb of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Black and White Podcast. Life might not be black and white, but we are. I'm Katie. Ew.
I am Marie, the black one. Well,
the black one.
That's right. We haven't identified which one of us.
That would be so weird if anyone assumed that I was anything but very white.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't know that I'm that far behind you as far as like whiteness qualities. My own people question me all the time, but you know.
Well, that is ridiculous. It might also come from our very similar upbringings, mm-hmm. and like, yep. kind of restrictive Christian church type stuff. Yes. How we deal with the world.
Yes, that is yes. exactly what it is.
So we took a week off of podcasting because quite a bit was going on. Updates and things.
Yeah.
Would you like to start?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. So my father did pass away a week ago today. Tuesday night. So it's weird because I don't know. It's like, it's not exactly from the cancer, but essentially his lungs filled up completely with liquid and he couldn't breathe. And
jeez.
Yeah. And I guess I get a little frustrated because I was like, can't they do something about liquid in your lungs? Like, but whatever.
It feels like we could.
Yeah, right? they wouldn't.
Put a little box fan in there.
Do something. But, you know, they started to treat him less and less for other things. Because it was almost like, oh, well, you know, you're going to die. Like,
oh, wow.
It doesn't really
make
a difference.
They just reached like a like level of like, like this is how much we can care and actually do something, and then was that anything to do with insurance or anything like that?
No, he had great insurance. The funny thing is, I think there was an assumption a lot that he didn't have good insurance. Like we were the weekend beforehand, I felt like we were arguing with the hospices about how frequently they should be coming over, like what kind of coverage we can get, because I'm telling you right now, caring for a dying loved one, and I mean, it's like one of the hardest things I've never, imagine an adult baby, but like with emotions and feelings and like eyes that are, you're very clear what every eye look makes, because sometimes he'd be in pain and you'd only know by just looking in his eyes because he couldn't talk. I don't know. It's so we needed help. I'm amazed that my mom and my sister, especially my sister being a widow and it hasn't even been a year since her husband died, she's been doing this. She'd been doing it for months, picking him up in the middle of the night when, because he'd fall and getting him, my mom's like, she's 62 and got a bad back, so she can't pick him up, you know, feeding him and making all of his, it's just all this stuff. And then she's got a baby who's under 2 years old. So maintaining that schedule. So, but it definitely, I have so much more respect for my mom and my sister, because that last few days, in which I know it was the decline was the worst in the last few days, like when you're dying, of course, like when it's happening.
Yeah.
Like holding and having to like pick my father up and like have him not being able to do things for him that I know he wanted to do, like take a step forward. We're bending his legs so he could sit on the toilet. You know, I'm changing him, you know, that is, yeah. And hearing him gurgle because he can't breathe. And
sure.
That's, that was a lot. Like that's, you know, so I think I'm forever changed by that in a way I don't think I was expecting. I wasn't there when he actually died, the moments he died. I had to come back to the city, return my rental car because I'd already kept it over. And I was like, you know, I'm unemployed. So let's talk about that.
Right.
And I don't drive because I live in San Francisco.
Which is always the best timing on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How are you just coping just in general? Like, I know you're a pretty on the go type of person and like you want to go from one thing to the next and like kind of get things done. And you're also a natural caretaker. So I know that you're also taking care of others. What are you doing to take care of yourself in these moments?
Not enough. I'm having a really hard time. I'm actually got to figure it out. Yeah. I talked to my counselor yesterday and I said, I got to meet with somebody. I got to be in a room with my, cause my mom is dealing with it by just like surviving. And she went back to work. Like she took a day and then she went back to work. But I think I understand why she went back to work. Cause she gets to work with the students, you know, and see them and hear his music through them. And she's also been dealing with this intimately for 6 months. So I think she's been grieving. And that's what she was telling me. She's like, I've just been like crying on the way home. I'm crying in the shower. I've been dealing with this. So I think it's nice for her to finally just see that he's not in pain anymore. But I, on the other hand, like have had this whole existential crisis about like our life after death and, you know, what it all means and will I ever see my father again? Mm. And like, you know, why, you know, is there a God, you know, that
that kind of spiral stuff.
I wasn't prepared for that.
And especially I think you put it best. It's actually an analogy that I used a lot when my mom first passed away, but I remember we were playing, I think Fortnite or something. And you had mentioned, it's like taking like a leg out from under you. It's a support beam that like has always been there and supportive and like there for you. And then that's just kind of gone whether or not you expect it. You know, and sometimes it can be even worse when you expect it because it's just like, when is this going to happen? I'm so exhausted. What's it going to be like afterwards? And now it's afterwards. Mm. And of course, that's it's a total normal thing. Like, what's out there? Is there an after? Where do people go? What other things are you exploring and talking about?
I don't know. You know, I post about it. I try to be as genuine about how I'm feeling about it. Like sometimes that's been helpful because I'm finding that a lot of people are responding and like thanking me for just little words that I post because we don't talk about death.
No.
We don't really have any type of understanding of what you see. And I think it's not okay. Like, I want to be more open about grief. I feel like we're supposed to grieve and then go away. Like, it goes away and we move on.
Oh, no, it does. But, that's the biggest misnomer, is that, like, it all just goes away and you're fine. You kind of just live with it. Like, it's like a little pain that's still there. But, like, you grow with it. Like, I don't know. Putting a nickel in the knot of a tree or something like that, you grow around it and it becomes a part of you.
Right.
What is the most surprising thing that you've discovered kind of about your grief?
Oh, how much my body hurts.
Yeah.
And I haven't slept. I haven't been sleeping very well. And my body mm-hmm. just hurts. Like, me and my niece yesterday, because she just discovered she likes to go to the jacuzzi.
Ooh. So
I took her in there with me. Yeah. She goes, hot, TT, hot.
Aww.
But yeah, it's so cute. I just had to sit in there just because for my own body just to kind of come down. That, and I'm also like, and I'm surprised at all the different ways people tell you to handle it.
Oh.
Like, I'm just, I you know, people say the best and the worst things.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's not about grief, but it's just about my experience of.
No, that's part of it. How I'm supposed
to handle this.
people dealing with you in your grief is like such a thing that we especially don't talk about, because I feel like a lot of the times, especially in American culture and American Christian culture, people are uncomfortable. So they come up with platitudes or things that are, you know, conversation ending aphorisms of just being like, you know, they're in a better place, no longer in pain, all this stuff. And it's like, that's not what I really am thinking about right now. I'm thinking about all the memories that I had, or like the things that I'm going to be bummed that they're missing out on in those respects. So what's some of the worst advice you've gotten so far? If you don't mind.
Oh boy.
Because a lot of people do give a lot of bad advice.
It hurts someone. Like, I think it's not, it's just platitudes. I think it's not even necessarily, like, or, you know, I did get it. Some people tell me to drink. And while I concur, I would like to drink. yes, all of that. it's like literally the worst. Like, I just don't want to go down that rabbit hole, because I know I just have a. I know that it's temporarily great, but if it becomes a thing, right. I can't.
It becomes a thing. Yeah,
it becomes a thing. And I think it's just like the, you know, don't worry, you'll be with him again. Are you sure? Because I'm a gay.
Well, and I also,
I don't know.
I guess it's kind of something I've been reflecting on a lot lately, just like coming to terms with like my upbringing and like how people see the world and how people communicate what they think and believe. And I do feel like Mark and I have this conversation a lot of the time, where we like go between what is the difference between science and magic when you just don't understand the constructs in which it's like working. So, you know, who's to say there is or is not an afterlife? Who's to say there is or is not a heaven or hell or whatever? Like, I do think that we've gotten several points of this very wrong, just in trying to maintain a certain attitude or moral compass that you think was yours or whatever. Like, I think that is completely off the rails, especially when it comes to LGBTQ rights. And I do feel like one of the things when I had a family member pass away when I was in high school, I was in a chemistry class or something like that. And I was like, okay, biology. I asked my professor or teacher, I was like, what happens? And I'm like, well, the energy goes back into the earth. Like, it's like that there's still an energy, whether you call it a soul or whatever. It's like all of your body produces energy, but that battery pack kind of dies out. And I was like, where does that go? And he's like, it's back into the earth, back into the soil. So in a certain respect, like, there is a sort of rejuvenation or a reconnection with where we come from. Whether or not that is something that we experience on a different plane, who knows? Like, I think however you want to perceive it or see where that energy flows, either it's through you, through your life, through like the beautiful trees that you see on those walks that you take sometimes, like, it could, and this is going to sound very high notion-y, but it could be like the presence is everywhere type of thing. It's just a matter of perspective and how you want to look at it. Do I think there's a big white guy in a toga and like has a scroll on whether or not you've done enough good deeds to come in the pearly gates? I don't think so. I mean, I feel like that's a nice construct for us to understand things. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, that also gives us a security of like an ultimate justice. But I feel like, especially in the last couple of, I don't know, years or so, I feel like the ultimate justice is kind of like how we make that construct around us and for others.
It's funny. Excuse me. The pastor that's speaking at my dad's funeral is he's a progressive Christian. Very, very, like, I don't know what the word is, but like has this really cool, because I talked to him, I said, I was like, I'm feeling actually quite tortured about this because everybody keeps telling me I'll see him again. Like, I'm like, that's actually not really comforting to me because all these mofos don't know I'm a big old gay. You know, because this is people from their church and stuff, because I was around them all. And he was like, he's like, number one, I'm so sorry because that's not it. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think he's like, I'm really sorry that you've had to live with that limitation of what God could be and who he could be and where you go. And I don't know, that was really, I think that was, it was so, that felt really good because number one, my dad specifically asked for him to be who, to lead his funeral. And I almost felt like it was like he, when he came over, like he, like dad had such a, my dad had a plan like to make sure I talked to somebody who would make me feel okay with who I am. And it's just really beautiful. He's like, it sucks. he went through this evangelical horror. He's like, as a matter of fact, he's like, when you go see a therapist, and he's like, I'm suggesting you see a therapist, which is like,
that's when you know you got a good pastor.
Like, pastor, thank you. Because that's what I was like, dude, they used to just send you to the church counselor and you prayed, they prayed and
prayed it away or like whatever the circumstance was. And it's like, hey, this doesn't actually help heal any part of me. This also like exposes the wound even further.
Exactly. Ugh. Like you suck. And this is all the reason why you suck. And that's what it felt like. So he was like, he's like, not only that, when you go see a therapist, he's like, you tell them you grew up in an evangelical church. He's like, all of a sudden you'll have better therapy because they'll understand you better. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, so he's like, the church has done a lot of damage. And that's where my dad believed. And I know that his, he had to hide a lot of his progressiveness from the church he was in. You know, they didn't know how like cool.
Now, you said in the last episode that he was like a red letter Christian. What exactly is that? Like by the book?
Yeah, no. So a red letter Christian. And I mean, I'm probably butchering this whole idea, but it's a, so in certain versions of the Bible, because, you know, there's the Old Testament, there's King James, NIV. Sure.
Right. NRSV. Yeah.
Yes. And then a lot of versions, I believe King James originated it. Jesus's words are in red.
Right.
So he's like, you know, a red letter Christian is somebody who is
follows Jesus's words.
Jesus's actual words.
Yeah.
Instead of ideas about what he was saying and
interpretations.
Jesus didn't talk about a lot of the stuff we talk about. Yeah. And God, like, you know, he was hanging with prostitutes and thieves and Jesus was like washing feet. You know, he was turning over tables in the temple. He was angry. You know what I mean? Just like this.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And so like my dad, now I can say these things. He's pro-choice. He voted for Obama. You know, he voted for Biden. Whoop, whoop. You know, this is my, yeah, I just, he understood privilege. You know, he was a white man who my middle sister wasn't really on the, was on the fence about what she believed. She's like, there's no such thing as white privilege, because she's very light skinned. She's passing.
Oh, really?
Almost on some days. She hasn't had too interesting. Much sun. Yeah. Or at least like looks Latina. But my dad sat, I remember sitting in the car, cause I couldn't talk to her anymore about it. And cause she just felt like, oh, you guys are just, you're the black ones, and you just think I'm so bad because I'm not the blackest one. And I'm like, no, we're aww. Just trying to tell you about real shit. And yeah. my dad is the one who explained privilege to her. And he was really good about that. I mean, he got a lot of stuff wrong. Like, he was still figuring out trans and non-binary things, and they them confused the hell out of him. I was like, Dad, people have been using they them in sentences forever, like, get over right. it. I was talking to Nico last night about how he didn't get it right, but he tried really hard. And he loved and respected any kid as long as they worked hard. That was all he cared about, is, you know, getting, and even if they didn't work out hard, he taught you to work hard, or you made you want to work hard. And there was this TikTok that one of the kids shared, and it was really sweet. It was about my dad saying, you know, I miss you. There's so much we have more to learn from you. We wish you weren't going. And so I looked in to see who the kid was, and it's this queer kid from their school. Trans flags everywhere. I was like, wow. That kid felt accepted and loved by my dad.
He understood.
Yeah. So that's what, when I say he was like progressive red letter Christian, you know, yeah. I remember him saying, I wouldn't say he's pro-choice in the sense that he was like, go get abortions. He's probably pro-choice. He's like, well, if you have to, you have to like, let me adopt your kid, cause I'm childless, but I get it. If you have to, you have to. And I remember him being like, who am I to tell a woman what they could do with their body? That just doesn't make any sense.
What a good guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Red letter Christian. And he made me feel a lot better about being who I was. Like, he didn't really run from it. Never. They didn't really give me, I mean, we had a few talks about me being queer there were times when they struggled with it, but they've always been very accepting of my partners. They've always really been welcoming, never left them out of anything, never really said, hey, you can't be a part of this, cause you know, we don't want you around. As a matter of fact, I went into my dad's office, and he's got Nico gave him a lava lamp for Christmas last year. Aww. And he had it up in his office. So, yeah, that was really
cool. That's really sweet. It was really That's cool. really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it incredible?
Enough person? About me.
Well, I mean, like, gosh, look, I also know that, like, in the grief and whatnot, it does sometimes feel like a bit of a spotlight. So totally happy to shift perspectives and move off. But, you know, like,
I'll talk about myself all day.
I know. And that's why I love you as a podcast, you know, co-host, because then I could just ask you questions and, like, learn more about you. Really for selfish reasons, honestly.
I get it.
But, yeah. You doing all right, just job front wise? I know that was such a thing for you during this time. I can't even imagine, like, I know what it's like to go through the grief of losing a parent, but, like, on top of, like, the stress of job hunting, I can't even imagine what that's like.
So funny, I had my first interview with this company. Mm-hmm. The day he died, I had it that morning. God. And I walked into the living room, and I was like, oh, because before I got off the line, she said, okay, I'm gonna move you on. And so I cried like a baby on.
I get it.
And it was so, I was like, you know, I haven't gotten a lot of second interviews out of this. This tech process is hard. Like that, you know, the first interview, it's, I'm glad to have gotten them, but I'm trying to get to the next levels. And so yeah, right away. And she was very sweet. She was like, she asked me what was the words, you know, looking forward, what is your, like, do you have anything big upcoming where you want people to work, or what's your timeline, or can you start?
And I was vacation, like, well, or like
honestly,
a
big...
but like, not what you're thinking.
Yes, exactly. I was like, well, my dad is dying, so I don't know when that's going to happen, which is weird that he died that night. I was like, I don't know, so that might be a little bit of like, I might have to figure that out. So, but she immediately, she moved me on, and I booked the interview that day, my next interview, and I had it on Friday, and I got through that. It wasn't my best interview, but I also told them during that interview that my dad was dying, because I just wanted to be like, I said, I have to apologize. I'm not as prepared as I know you'd like me to be. I'm doing the best. I'm probably a little bit more manic, you know, just because that's what he said. He's like, you know, at the end of the interview, he's like, maybe you could be a little bit more concise with your answers. I was like, could I be more concise? I said,
yeah. Wow, that's such an interesting thing to have feedback during the interview like that. But yeah, okay.
Well, he did it at the end because he was moving me on. Good. And he just said, yeah, he said, because he was sweet. He was very sweet. He's just like, okay. Andrew, you might only have 15 minutes. So,
got it.
Cut it.
Keep it tight. Type five.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was one of the, I had two phone interviews. I want to say maybe the week before last. I can't remember. Last week was kind of an emotional blur for us as well, but I was rambling into the point where I was like, I feel like I'm talking a lot, I'm so sorry. And they were like, no, this is an interview about you, like, it's okay to talk about yourself. I was like,
yeah.
I just don't feel comfortable doing that all the time. it's such a weird thing for a Leo to say, but I know, I'm a Leo, and
fair enough. Oh my gosh, you are a Leo. Somebody, we need to get your chart done. My friend does them. Okay. Do you know what time you were born?
Yeah, I think I was like 8:15. I feel like I'm the whatever Mark sign rising. I actually just re-downloaded CoStar because I could not remember what the hell I am.
Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lube of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo!
I've got a lot of Leo in me.
Yeah, no, that I see. I definitely see that. I'm a Sun Leo, a Moon Virgo, a Virgo.
Yes, there's just so many. The Virgo.
What's the Virgo? Yeah, I've got a Moon Virgo and a Virgo.
That's
rising.
Your organized self.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's the organizational Katie.
I'm not. That makes a lot of sense. Well, it's so funny because I didn't used to be an organized person. I still feel very scatterbrained personally, but I like the order because it helps me think better, because my brain goes by a million different ways. But yeah,
fair enough. Well, it's funny because that's the part of aging I'm kind of loving, is like developing new parts of me and who I was like, oh, I've become this kind of person. Like, I've become a patient person. And I haven't always been patient. You know, it's really funny those are the things that about aging that are kind of beautiful. Like, you've just gotten yourself to a point where you can run a little bit better. Your life runs a little bit better. Yeah. Maybe it's just simple things like being more organized, but I think those are skills that are hard to learn if you don't learn them when you're young. Right. So it's
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You've it's almost leveled up.
Yeah. Well, Mark and I keep talking about that too. Like, this idea of leveling up, and like, Mark is kind of frustrated with one of his jobs at the moment because it's just disorganized and not really getting him a lot of work. And it's kind of frustrating. And I was like, hun, right, I think we're in a place of change right now where like we're outgrowing certain aspects of some jobs that like feel a little juvenile sometimes. And, you know, we're getting ourselves emotionally prepared for the next step, the next venture that can actually meet our needs financially and otherwise. And a lot of the times it comes with frustration from stuff that we're ready to leave and, you know, pass on.
But yeah. Boy, oh boy. There's some kind of moon for people in Leos or something, like, I don't know. My friend came over the night before my dad died, and she was like, "Oh, I just gotta tell you." She's like, "It's a big season of change." I was like, "Bitch, yeah, couldn't have told me this 6-8 months ago." Well, gave me a little prep. She's like, "The sun and the moon are in this and that." And I mean, I don't put too much stock into it, but sometimes it's almost like
it's a almost comfort. Like,
yes.
Well, yeah. It's one of those things that I was talking to someone recently where we as humans really like to compartmentalize. We like to put things in boxes and like, this works because of this, because everything is chaos. And so if we can find some kind of like similarities, or like, hey, when I do this, this result happens, or when this is happening, this result also happens. It's a comfort because it's like, okay, I don't know much, but at least I know this. So yes, astrology, religion, a lot of these things, there's a lot of bullshit out there. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of absolute bullshit, but I feel like, you know, for some people, prayer brings great comfort. Meditation brings great comfort. Thinking about your astrology can bring great comfort. It's just your framework on how you place it. And I do think April is in its own, or at least now we're in May. We're almost done with May. Oh my gosh, time is going so fast. But we're in the moments of spring, and the spring is a time of change and growth and like budding and new talents being shown. So it does make sense, even though it doesn't feel like, I don't know, the stars aligning and all of that. I don't think we're going to have like the Titans rise out of the earth.
Yeah, right. The second coming.
Yeah, right.
Fire shall rise from the depths of the earth.
If the second coming came and it was like, sure. I mean, I feel like we would all be too jaded to realize
when was the first one?
The first one?
I want to know when the first one passed. Yeah,
when Ayo.
That was us?
No.
Is that us just landing?
Just landing.
Yeah, everybody talked about the second coming. I want to know when the first one was.
So, in terms of Judeo-Christianity, first coming was apparently Jesus coming. And then if Jesus came back, it would be like coming with the sword and not the word or whatever. Okay,
never. I didn't realize it was I thought it was – here I'm thinking with my sci-fi mind.
You know what? No. Maybe the second coming of the aliens. We don't know, man. Like, how did it all start?
Like, dude.
Yeah. So I am with your Leo friend there, because I do feel like there's a lot going on. I feel like a lot of people are very burdened right now, and everyone's pretty burnt out. There's a lot going on.
I think, you know, it's like COVID is, it's not over, because
no
I forget no. that sometimes. And that is not talking the glue over. But it's
so
like,
so many people around me are getting it, and it's freaking me out. Like, I know that it's less now, and I'm very happy to be vaxxed and boosted, and I'm ready for that second booster. Like, just fill me up with all the defense I can get.
Oh, but it's are we getting scary. New boosters now? Is that we have to get a fourth one now? Is that
I think this might be somewhat similar to like flu shot type thing where it might become annual, but we might need to do like a double booster or something. Depending on. Talk to your doctor. Don't ask me. talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctor. Nobody told me.
You don't know?
This is me telling you right now. I don't know. I truly don't know. I've heard people getting like a second booster, and I don't know if that's because they had Johnson & Johnson originally, which is what I ended up having. That's a whole fun story that you can listen to on the Geekscape Network podcast. I've told that story before. But I got swindled into thinking that I was getting the Moderna, and I got the Johnson & Johnson. And then my booster
that
was
Moderna. That is so rude. That is so rude.
Yeah, well, okay, it wasn't intentional. They just didn't tell me on the outward. Like, they told me going in, it's Moderna. And I was getting it, like, a little bit early, even still. So I felt, like, guilty for, like, going anyway. And so when I got the shot, I clapped because it was a historical moment and no one else clapped. And I was like, okay, I'm uncomfortable.
I cried in front of everybody.
Good. Show that emotion. Yeah. And then afterwards I'm like leaving and I was like, all right, see you later. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. And they're like, no, you won't. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I got the first shot. I have to come back for the second one. They're like, no, you're Johnson & Johnson. You're good. And I was like, what? I felt so violated.
The worst. Yes. I felt
so violated.
I feel like that is a violation. Like, that's a whole another situation. Like, that's a whole different situation.
Yeah. The person who hooked me up with the vaccine, they felt really bad too, but it was kind of one of those things where I knew somebody in the medical field that was like, here, come to this place. You'll be like in our friends and family batch. And I was like, great. Awesome. I would love to get vaccinated. So I also, this is not to say that Johnson & Johnson is lesser than by any means. They're just different. I just did not know going in what it was. And I felt very scared.
Give me more.
Right. Yeah. No, stick me full of all the vaccines. I hate needles, but I, you know what? Use me as a pin cushion. Just light it up.
Light her up. It starts a fire, kick some tires, it starts some fires. What's that term?
kick the tires, start some fire, light the fires, kick some tires. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I guess we're not country enough.
I'm like, but yeah, do it.
Speaking of, so I don't think I talked about it on the podcast last time, but a couple weeks ago, our apartment complex got broken into several times because it keeps getting broken into. They broke into our mailbox and stole my EDD card and used all the money on the EDD card. And I was like, oh, I was so frustrated. I called the post office. I called EDD. I called the bank. I called the police. Everyone was telling me, like, you need to go to one person or another about this situation. And that was also last week when I was filming a bunch, which was really cool to finally, like, get to be on set again. But I had all this other stuff going on. And also our garage got broken into. And one of our key fobs got taken, so like we had to change all the gates and stuff. In that same Tuesday at 2:30 in the morning, there was some altercation where the police were hog-tying some dude outside of our window while a couple was shouting fuck you at each other the whole time. Good times. 2.5 hours later, we hear gunshots.
Shut up.
No,
No,
sorry. No, don't shut up. Just tell me.
No, I get it. Oh yeah, and this is also, so I had to wear a bald cap all day because it's just a very silly like sketch show type thing.
I've seen pictures.
Yes, I look very weird bald, but it is something I've always wanted to try just to see. So I'm glad I got a bald cap on that. But those are usually attached with like these gross, like prosthetic, like plasticky. They look like boogers when you pull them off your skin. The hot water in our apartment had gone out that same day, so I had to like take a spit bath with a tea kettle. Gunshots go off and like the police and like no one can find anything, and I like at this point I was just like, I can't do this, like this is too much that's going on. I'm exhausted, I haven't slept, I have crap all over my head. And someone had, like, I, of course, do the very whitest thing I could do is, like, post a message on Nextdoor. And I'm like, what's happening in our neighborhood? I don't feel safe anymore. And someone recommended to me, like, emailing my local city councilwoman, who I actually voted for, and she won office, and responded within, like, 15 minutes or so, and was like, I'm really? On the phone with the LAPD. Yeah, no, I was actually really impressed with that. So if nothing else, like when you're kind of at your wit's end, like try looking into like your local government, your local politics, just to like reach out and talk to someone, because it does actually, you get a response. And I do feel like things feel a little bit safer right now. And, you know, there's some investigations going on, but
okay.
Boy, I tell you, it's been a week.
That's how it goes. But before I forget, I do want a plus one. Talking to your local government, can't remember if it was my, it was one of my local reps. I don't remember if it was on the county or I think it was state level rep. Remember when the pandemic started and EDD, if you didn't get in that first initial rush, had hills to climb to get your money.
Mm-hmm. You had to call every day. I remember calling like 400 times a day trying to get a representative.
Yep. And so what I did is I called my local representative and they took care of it. What they were doing is once a week, they were meeting with EDD personally so they could put your name right there in front. So
on the table, yeah.
So I think like there's a lot of ways that, you know, our government doesn't help us the way they're supposed to, but there are people out there actually doing the work for their constituents. You just have to call and ask. They're not going to solve everything, but
right.
I know there are some people doing it. Right. So
yeah. Well, and
I applaud that.
You know, it's encouraging like the voting system, you know, if you can like get out and vote. Midterm elections are coming up soon. So like get out and vote, like really look at like the people in your city and like who's doing stuff, who's not, who's aligning with what you think is good and who's not. Because there's a lot of people, especially at least down here in Southern California, there's a lot of ads and things for some, and I get phone calls all the time and all those mailers and stuff. And like, there's a gentleman who's running for office, who's switched from Republican Party to Democratic just for the ballot. And like, just wants to get, and he has a lot of money and he is trying to get elected and do some research, like talk to your friends much as possible. But this is the very instance where these council members that we vote for come in handy for the times when, hey, we're out of work and no one's working and I can't get a hold of EDD, so can someone please do some checks and balances on this?
Vote, people.
Vote. Like, just go vote,
motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Just go vote. But I was going to say is I think voting at the local level is really important. I think that's where those people are you know, working directly with the community. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go vote for presidents and things like that, but I know that
right.
the people who have their money, their hands on the money that you like, that you can directly see around you, it's important. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, the people who are taking care of streets, I want to know who the hell that is and what they believe is important, what they prioritize, yeah. because that will directly affect you. You know, also just be a good citizen.
Right.
And vote. Who am I? What the fuck am I talking about?
I don't know. We're figuring it out. We're getting better every day. Just each day. Is there anything you're looking forward to in the next week or so?
Yeah, I'm performing this weekend. Unfortunately, we won't be able to see it together, but I'm going to go see Bob's Burgers on opening night, which I'm really, really excited about. I think one of the last things my dad was watching a lot of, and it was cute because my sister was like, what the hell is this show? I was like, Dad and I have been watching this show for years. So he was watching a lot of Bob's Burgers in the end. Yeah. So I'm excited to see that. Just be able to think of him because I really wanted to see it with him, or at least eventually see it with him. Yeah. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I'm performing. So that's nice. Oh, and I'm also performing at Nico's school. It's really cute for the kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
On Friday afternoon. Yeah. They're cool. Their school is so, it's a school of the arts. So that's those great. Kids get to do some really cool stuff. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for that. Performing for the kids, and then Carnival I'm performing Ooh. For. Yeah.
That's really
so
fun.
We shall see. Yeah. My mom like was like, you need to go, go home.
Oh,
go perform. Like, don't sit around here just being sad. I want to be sad. I want to be sad and I want to perform. That's what I want to do.
I totally 100% get that. I will not be performing this weekend. I will be trying to see where we can find the Bob's Burgers movie, because I'm very excited about that movie and I'm bummed we can't get to see it with you up in San Francisco. But our plans just kept... One thing after another.
It
last
happens.
Week is
it happens.
Things. Yeah,
but I thought it would be cute if we had a little, like, if you wanted to come up and we could just do something real special. We can like plan a whole weekend together too. So
I would love that.
Maybe it'll be like, yeah, because I was gonna be like, so we can do something really cute, and it'd be fun if you came up here during the summer and
yes,
I don't know.
I think that's definitely doable. And luckily, we did get money back on our tickets, so we'll be able to use that for the future at some point. So let's definitely plan something and have like a full weekend. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the Bob's Burgers movie, and no idea what else we're doing for Memorial Day weekend now that we're here, but we'll probably be spending some time with our cats and then probably hopping on some Fortnite at some point. So if you'd like to play some Fortnite with us, please hit us up. Please hit us up.
And we'll definitely be there.
They brought the rail guns back, and I don't know if you were around for the rail guns, but it was one of Mark's favorite guns. It's kind of OP, overpowered. They're really good. They're like snipers. They like go a little bit slower, but they're really great shots.
When did you play? When did you see Railgun?
He saw it this morning. I saw him when I was
this morning. Okay,
yeah, came back from the gym. He was playing, and he was like, "There's rail guns," and I was like, "Oh,
I'm well." What is up with that collider? I know we're done, but I'm just thinking, what's the
no? You're fine.
The collider is that just I didn't. I don't, they usually do a video. I think it's a little add a video or something. I don't know.
Right. To explain what it all is. I don't know if they have it directly tied to the main storyline just yet, but they probably do. Like, war has happened throughout the whole map and so many things are destroyed. And now that collider is there. So I'm sure it has something to do with the Imagine Order. They haven't, as far as I know, talked about what the meaning of it is or why it's there. It kind of, it reminds me of the spire that was in the middle of the map last year. Okay. With all the different things around it. So maybe, but I don't know about you, but I feel like the bots are getting more insane and really good at aiming.
Yes. Yes.
What is that?
They are. That's what I'm telling you. That's what happened last season though, too, where at like towards the end, the bots were killing me more often. And I'm like, wait a second. Cause I had to go into Command Cavern to, whatever.
I'll help you get that mission. Cause I know what you're talking about.
I was like, okay, maybe I could sneak around, kill a couple. Cause I'm not like bad. Places like Command Cavern don't scare me as much, except unless you run into Gunner. And it's so creepy that you can hear his voice. Right. What is he saying to you?
I don't. It's like that little bot speech that they have because they. I mean, let's hop on after this and try because I'm down. But yeah, I have no idea. I feel like they're like Stallone but garbled. They're like
so uncomfortable. Like, what the hell? It's so creepy. But
yeah. All right. Well, let's just sign it off real quick. But if you'd like to find me, you can find me at El Sassy Pants, ELSASSPANTS, sometimes with the Z at the end if you're on TikTok. And Marie, where can people find you?
Instagram at MadMarie13. I think that's also my Twitter thing, which I'm hoping to come alive. But I mostly use Twitter to complain about my seats on an airline. So you might not get any quality content there.
Some quality feedback on playing content. Awesome. Thank you so much for liking. Please hit that subscribe button. Give us some feedback. Let's hear what you have to say. What do you do in grief? What do you do when you're looking for a job? What do you do when you have a urge for a snack at night? Let us know, and we'll read your comments out. And thank you so much for Geekscape for sponsoring the podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lueb of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo! You're listening to the Geekscape Network.